Today I'm going to talk about commitment. Say that with me, commitment. That's not a bad word. And to a lot of people, that's a bad word. But really, it is a great word for a Christian, if you're a Christian. It is through commitment that you'll find out what you really stand for. Turn that light out over there, if you will, so that that shows up even better. It's through commitment that we find out what we really stand for. Many people, and I believe, say I believe this and I believe that. But you'll find out when the pressure's on what you really believe. How many's ever been in a traffic jam and you didn't turn me? I'm hot, brother. Turn the gain down. You didn't respond the best way you should have in the midst of a traffic jam. You wasn't as patient as you possibly could have been. And see, when you're under pressure, what's really in us comes to the forefront. And we find out what we really believe when things aren't going as well as we had hoped for. We find out if we're really committed to something when it gets tough. Because if you're ever going to make a commitment to anything, I promise you, it's going to get tough. So we really find out what's in our heart. We really find out if we're committed as we say we are when we got our backs up against the wall, when push comes to shove, we find out if we're committed or not. Or if we really believe what we say we believe, or we're just giving lip service. Or sometimes people commit to things on an emotional level. And how many knows that our emotions are all over the scale? They are not dependable. Your emotions are a reaction to how you perceive things. So sometimes when we commit to something, it's on an emotional level and it's not really on a heart level. And when that happens, we're not really committed. When it gets tough, we begin to withdraw or pull back, if you will. I had a pastor here Wednesday night, and he said something I already knew after the service. He said, I have people come in and they're struggling. And they'll get all excited after the first service, new visitors and whatever. And they'll tell me how committed they're going to become to the church and how excited they are about the church and the ministry, only to never see them again. And his wife, when he said that, his wife stepped forward and said, immediately when people say those kind of things, a red flag goes up with me. And what she was meaning was is that people sometimes commit on an emotional level, and then when it comes to the actual commitment of doing something, your flesh, how many knows we all got flesh, doesn't want to go through with it. And our flesh has a tendency to make excuses and give ourselves reasons why we don't really need to be that committed. I remember a guy I used to work with, he wanted to build a garage. And he asked a bunch of the guys that were working with him, would you help me if I buy the supplies? Well, all of us got excited about it. We said, sure, we'll all go over there every afternoon after work and we'll put this thing together for you. And it won't take us 2 or 3 weeks to do it, just a little bit after work and maybe a Saturday or two. And I can remember the first day, there was about 5 or 6 there. The second day, there was 3 of us. The third day, it was just me and him. The fourth day, it was just me and him. The fifth day, it was just me and him. The sixth day, there was a third one that showed back up. And that's just the way it is. But I made a commitment that I would see it through with him and build it. It costs you something when you commit to something. Understand this. Nothing's free. How many believes when Jesus committed to going to the cross, it cost him something? Commitment cost us something. And that was an example of people had good intentions, people, but they all did it on an emotional level. And then when they found out it was work, they withdrew their commitment. And this is how it is with Christianity. We make a commitment to the Lord and we make a commitment to His Word, but there's always going to be something that's pushing against us to try to get us to move off of that commitment. Let me tell you what commitment will do for you. Commitment, if it's true commitment, will cause you to stand alone on principles and values. It will cause you to stand alone on the Word of God and its values. What it really boils down to, it says, it causes you to commit to God Himself, because God and His Word are one. They're the same. There's no difference. God and His Word are one. So when we commit to God, His principles and His Word, we're really committing to God. And I found that if we will stay committed to the Lord, even during the lean times, even during the hard times, even during the valley seasons, that God will make sure that we're going to have a great blessing in the end. When you make a commitment of any kind, natural or spiritual, you're going to be led to a fork in the road. And you can go one way or you can go the other way. You can stay with your commitment or you can veer off of that commitment. And listen to me very carefully this morning. Nobody can make a commitment for us. We have to make it for ourselves. Because when everybody's not around to encourage you, then it's you and God alone and your commitment. Many days I come up here and I pray, and I'm not patting myself on the back. And I want to tell you, I got flesh just like anybody else does. At lunch, everybody else is going to lunch, having a good time, chit-chatting, da-da-da. And I come up here to pray. There's times I don't want to pray. My flesh gives me every reason in the world why I shouldn't pray. And there's times I've actually gave in to not praying. I can get busy. I'll show you how the flesh works. I'll get busy picking up trash in the church, cleaning the aisles up, wiping seats off and stuff, and halfway through it realize, man, I just blew half of my prayer session on something that was of lesser value. So what I'm telling you this morning is when we make a commitment to the Lord, and all of us has made a commitment to the Lord, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be the flesh that has to be dealt with. There's going to be that fork in the road. And we're going to find out if we really believe or are committed to what we say we are. We can walk that road, but I'm going to tell you this morning, sometimes it feels like it's a very lonely road. But I want you to understand this morning that the Spirit of God is with you always, no matter how lonely it got. You know, it had to be a lonely road when Jesus was dragging the cross up to Golgotha's hill and they were fixing to crucify Him for people who didn't really want Him. It was not a good time. It had to be a lonely place. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He says He felt like everybody had forsook Him. And they did. And yet He stayed with His commitment to God. And because of His commitment, we today can enjoy the benefits of salvation. So commitment is a wonderful thing. But we all have to ask ourselves, are we committed when everybody else is not? Or when we feel like we're on that lonely road and nobody understands and nobody cares, are we going to stay committed? Because most of the time, our flesh will make every excuse in the world and it will give you an option, an easy road out. Bring up, if you will, I know I said go to Daniel, bring up Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 real quick before we go there. Commitment is something that you personally have to do. I can't do it for you. God can't do it for you. No one else can do it for us. We have to commit ourselves. Look what commitment brings to us. I see so many people, when it gets tough, they don't bury their feet in and anchor themselves and the Word of God, they would begin to pull back. Now look at this. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In other words, when you commit to something, don't cast away your confidence. He didn't say that it would be easy. He didn't say it was going to look good. He said, but if you'll stay with it, it has great recompense of reward. In other words, there's a reward at the end if we stay with it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, my soul has no pleasure in them that draw back. Is that right? What is God saying? He's saying, I don't delight in people when they withdraw their commitment. That's what he's saying. Is that right? Is that am I on fair ground there? My soul has no delight. Doesn't say God doesn't love us. It says God is not pleased when we withdraw our commitment. God wants us to be committed. We have to come to a place where we are committed to the end and until we get results. That's what that scripture says. Cast not therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. We have to stay committed and we have to stay in that race. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, there's two stories here in chapter 3 and chapter 6 I want to share with you this morning. And wow. One's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar was the king at that time, and he had built a huge golden idol. And then he commanded that at the sound of music, every knee was to bow at that idol. However, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a different idea. They chose to follow God because Exodus chapter 23 had told them, their God says, you shall not bow before any false idol. So they were committed to doing what God says. So when the music played, everyone's knee bowed, and these men stood out like a sore thumb. They wasn't standing behind a bush. Let me read it to you. It says, then the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs. Sounds like the whole state and local level of municipalities and powers. And all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar king, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, I think that's how you pronounce that, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. So when the music played and every knee was to bow, everyone's knee was to bow, these men stood out like a sore thumb because they chose to stick with their commitment and they chose to stand with God and to stand with the Word of God says. And they were standing and everyone else in the plain of Dura. Bring up the NIV on chapter 3, verse 12. They chose to stand in the midst of all of it. And it said, but there were some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the images you have set up. In other words, when the music played, everybody bowed down, but these three, they chose not to. They chose to stay with God. They chose to stick with their commitment. They chose not to go with the flow of popular demand. Listen to me, if we always go with what's easy and we always go with the flow of the world, we're going to hell.
That's right.
Yeah. Ooh, that didn't fit good, did it? Because that's where the world is going without Jesus. And if we always choose the easy route, we're not going to go the right route. We're going to end up where the rest of the bunch ends up. But listen, they chose to be people of principle. They chose to be people of commitment. And when you make a commitment into His Word, there's always going to be some reaction. Say that with me, reaction. People will take notice of your commitment. Some are watching and hoping you'll succeed. On the other hand, some are annoyed by your commitment. Sometimes it's people in your family. They don't want you serving God. They don't want you committed to God. They don't like it because you're committed to God, because they're not committed to God, and it brings conviction on their life. And some people, it's people you work with. They're not always happy about you and the things of God and your commitment to God. Sometimes it's our close friends. Sometimes it's our family, our loved ones. There's always going to be some opposition, and the devil will make sure that there's opposition to what we're trying to believe God for. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, 14. I'll show you how people reacted. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded, bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was hot. He didn't like it. And not everybody's going to like your commitment to the Lord either. You might as well expect that. Then you won't be disheartened when it happens. Because not everybody's going to pat you on the back and say, what a good job. No, he was hot because they didn't bow. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? He didn't like it at all. And I want you to look at their response. Here is the test of their commitment. As these three men stood before the king Nebuchadnezzar, they may have thought this, can God really deliver us? You know, we think that. When things ain't going good, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. Is God really there for me? Is God really the healer that He says He is? I'm standing on His Word that says, by His stripes I'm healed. Is He really the healer? Is He really the need meter? He'll meet all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or should I look for a way out and compromise? And then the king gave him a chance. He says, now if you be ready, that at that time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackcloth, the climber, and all the things of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have set. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He was putting a challenge to them. He's saying, who's going to deliver you out of my hands if you don't bow before this thing? If you don't back off the commitment that you have. And see, that's what the enemy tells us. Is God able to do it? And he was really challenging, saying, can God really deliver you? And I ask you this morning, can God really deliver us? And they had to be thinking, what would it hurt if I just bow down this once? I could sure get myself out of that fiery furnace. It's not going to hurt anything, because if we do it and we really don't mean it, it's just a stupid idol anyways. Maybe if we fake it and we just bow down like this and act like we're tying our sandals. Exactly, it's a hard issue. That had to be going through their mind, because they had flesh just like we do. And I want to share this point too. They didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them like we do. And yet they chose to stand in spite of the consequences that were before them. Can your God really deliver you, is what the king asked them. When we make a commitment to the things of God, it's going to cost us something. There's no such thing as a free commitment. It may cost you your friendship. It may cost you your votes in the popularity poll. But you've got to remember this. People are watching, people are noticing, and people will be influenced by your decision to stand or not stand. Now, I want to tell you this morning, if we choose not to stand, what testimony is that to Christ? How does he get glory out of it? How do people say that if we're not willing to stand for something we say we believe, how are we going to win anybody that are lost? Because we're wishy-washy. We don't believe what we say we believe. So God said, we got to be willing to stand, even if it costs us something. But you got to remember, there's an end result to everything. And the end result is, in this situation, when we decide to stand and be firm in our commitment, is that people are going to be influenced by our decision. People will be influenced by our commitment. And you don't even know who's watching you or not watching you. Some of the very people that are bad-mouthing you, and some of the very people that are trying to tear you down, and some of the very people that don't agree with your commitment are watching to see if you really believe what you say you believe. Our response makes a big difference. How we react, how we respond, how we stay committed or not committed. Look what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did. The reason I pulled this one out, because this is probably as extreme as you can get. And look what they said. Look at verse 17 and 18. It says, "If it be so, our God whom ye serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." What they were saying is this, is that, look, we're committed to God, and it doesn't matter. We're going to stay committed to God. If you feel like you got to throw us in a fiery furnace, if you feel like you got to bad mouth me to everybody behind my back, if you feel like you got to run me down, and you feel like you got to talk down to me, and you feel like you got to do all these things you want to do, it don't matter. I'm going to stay with God. So you do what you got to do, king. And so the king says, so be it. In the next verse, you hear the commitment came and said, "But if he does not deliver us, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of God you have set up." And that's strong commitment. But when you really believe something, you'll commit to it. When you make a commitment, you can count on this fact, that if you stand for God and His Word, you will be delivered. If you really committed, you stand on God's Word, you will be delivered. Look at verse 26 through 30 of Daniel chapter 3. We find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not only delivered, but they were promoted. I want you to understand this. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake, and he said unto Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and the counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angels and have delivered his servants that trusted in thee, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." What am I saying here? What transpired? When you stand for God, God sees that His word is vindicated, and you are vindicated, and God gets glory out of it. And not only does God get glory out of it, the king took notice of it. And everybody around seen it. And everybody that's been bad-mouthing you, everybody that's been running you down, everybody that says that all these negative things about you, everybody that don't believe in your commitment, don't believe in your God, they're put on notice that God is the God that can deliver. And the Bible says not even a hair was said. Nothing, no harm came to them. But we got to go and we got to commit to God if we expect that kind of results. The king took notice, the people took notice, and God's name was glorified. You want to make an impression on the unsaved, the lost, those that don't really understand your commitment, those that don't really care for your commitment, then you stay committed to God, and God will make sure that when you come out of the fiery furnace that nothing, no harm will be done to you, but His name will be glorified. Other people will take notice, and when they take notice, it will bring glory to God's name, and possibly they'll turn to your God. You know, I'm a manager over at work, and some of you's worked out there know that. And I have to face guys every day that don't believe in God. And you know what? But over a course of time, I have proven that I do. And now they respect me. There was a long time that they used to set me up to try to see if I really believe what I believe. Try to get me lured into dirty jokes. Try to lure me into ungodly stuff. Say, disrespect God in my presence. Now that no longer is. The other morning we were at a production meeting. One started to say a word and he looked at me and he just caught it midair and stopped it. I didn't say a word. I wasn't even looking his direction. But God convicted his heart. Because I have stayed committed. And there have been times I could have bailed out 1,000 times, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you, it doesn't mean we're perfect. That's not what I'm telling you this morning. But I'm saying when you will commit to God and stay with God, God will see to it in the end that His name is glorified and that His purposes are exalted in the earth and His agenda is manifested in the earth. People took note in this instance, and they will take note in yours too. I'm going to close with this last story about Daniel, who was also with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he's under a different king, King Darius. And we'll start at verse 6 through verse 6 and 7, I believe it is. And this is the decree. Daniel was put to the test also. Then the presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of God or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. What they're saying is if anybody prays in the next 30 days and they don't do it to you, O Darius, then they're going to be cast into the lion's den. Look at verse 10 and 11. Daniel was a man of prayer. And look at this. Then the presidents and the princes assembled. No, that's the one we just read. Verse 10 and 11. Daniel chapter 6, 10 and 11. Well, I'm here. Let me read it to you. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, in other words, the decree was out, he went into his house and his window being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, giving thanks before God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before God. In other words, he wasn't purposely trying to defy the king, but he was committed to God and he was doing what he always did, and that was pray 3 times a day. And he did it right in front of his window like he always did. He wasn't a closet Christian. He wasn't a back room Christian, basement Christian. He was an out there Christian. And he just bowed his knees and prayed. Was he looking for a fight? No, but the devil was. The devil was looking for a fight. And so anyhow, he prays 3 times a day. They take notice. They were trying to trip him up because they were jealous of him. Because he was second in command and he was over all the princes, over all the presidents. And they didn't like it. Sometimes when you're in a position and God has put you there, people don't like it. He stayed committed in spite of his opposition. Look at, I'm going to read you verse 16 through 23. And I want you to see what really happened, and we'll close with this. I want to encourage you this morning that you're going to have to come to grips that any commitment you make is going to cost you something. Any commitment you make is going to be challenged. Then the king commanded and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions because he did it. He was sore with him. He was mad because Daniel had done it. But listen, now the king spake unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I want you to see something here. What he was believing God for and all that he had done and all he stood for was rubbing off on the king. The king's beginning to be a believer. He says, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He's throwing him in the lion's den, but he couldn't change his word because it was a decree of the king. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither was any instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. This is the same guy that challenged. They tricked the king into making the decree. Now he's telling him, your God's going to deliver you. And not only that, he's fasting that it will be so. Tell me something, church. Does our commitment influence people? Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the dens of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice and said, voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. King's become a believer. He's saying, now your God's a living God. Listen to this. Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and have shut the mouths of the lions, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed his God. Folks, what I'm telling you this morning is when we will commit to God, God will commit to us. And when we commit to God, he'll see you through whatever it is you're facing. In spite of your enemies, in spite of your opposition, I want you to know that in these stories, you please gather this in your thinking. It's not, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Come on, church, listen to this. Your battle's not with flesh and blood, only your own flesh and blood. Your battle's not with your neighbor. Your battle's not with your husband, your wife, your sons, your daughters, your in-laws, your outlaws, your friends, your associates, your working associates. It doesn't say anything about Daniel being hot in any of those people. It doesn't say anything about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being vengeful towards the people that tried to set them up. Doesn't say anything about that. What it says is it's a commitment between you and your God. And if you'll make it that commitment between you and your God, God will see to it that you come out on the other side unscathed, unharmed, and God's name will be glorified in the midst of all of this. Look, I'm going to finish with the last few verses of what happened here in verse 25 through 28. Then the king Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. This is the end result of our faith. Remember what I said? Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Look at verse 26. I make a decree. This is the king talking. That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before God, the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the ends of the earth. Please understand this morning. It's about God being glorified and his name being exalted in the earth and his purposes being push forward in the earth and his dominion and his kingdom being exalted and taking in the earth. And this is what it's all about. And see, the king is giving glory to God, and he delivered and rescued and worked. He worked signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God was glorified in it. Daniel was delivered. His commitment paid off, and he was glorified. And it says that he prospered. He got favor because he stuck with his commitment. I'm telling you, if we'll get with God, get with our commitment, I don't care what it looks like. It looks bad when you're fixing to go into the fiery furnace. But you can come out unscathed. The Bible says in that instance, I didn't read that the king looked in there at that time and he says, it looks like there's four men in there. Didn't we throw three? Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he says, he's walking around. He said, the robes that bound him fell off of him. The things that the devil's trying to oppose us and put on us, if we'll stay committed to God, God will see that that stuff falls off of you. And you won't have a hair singed on your head. And in the story of Daniel, if we'll stick with God in spite of everything, in spite of people setting you up, in spite of people hoping you'll fail, in spite of people wanting you to fall so they can gain ascendancy upon you, that God will be lifted up, His name will be lifted up, and God will be glorified in our society and in the land we live, in our families, and every other way. If we'll just give God the glory and we'll stay committed to God, God will see to it in the end that not only will His name be glorified, but like it says in verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. You will prosper if you will stay with God in spite of everything. Hallelujah. Put on some music if you will, Brian. And shut that CD off.